This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday right here on Women of Grace Live, where we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. As I like to say, it's where we have holy conversation together. So I certainly do invite you to use the toll-free number if you're here in North America and get in touch with us. We want to know what's going on in your heart, in your mind. You know, what's going on in your life? That toll-free number for you is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to talk with you today. All of that being said, we're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to use that chat feature. And when you use that chat feature, you put in your name and how it is that you're listening, if it isn't via social media. In addition to that, tell us where you're located. And don't forget your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it, and we will discuss it right here on the air with you. We're also available for you by texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then put in your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we're going to get it retrieved. Do know, tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, of course. But do know that data and message rates may apply depending upon where you are located. One other way you can reach us, and this is for those of you that are outside of North America, here is a number for you to use. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Well, I hope that you had a blessed and holy and happy Memorial weekend, always remembering those who offered and sacrificed their lives for us. We pay them great tribute. And in addition to paying them great tribute through word, and oftentimes for those still in the military through example, but also by way of our prayer. We want to pray for them. And we certainly do want to pray for those who sacrificed their life for us. So I want to encourage you. I don't know if you ever think about such a thing, but why not have a holy sacrifice of the Mass celebrated for them, for all of the men and women throughout, really and truly, the years, the centuries, who have given their life for the sake of freedom, that we might practice our faith in this great country and we might vote for our officials, and that we indeed might experience the joy and the peace that comes from a nation that is founded under God. And I'll tell you, it doesn't mean that it always lives up to that truth. But the fact of the matter is, that is the truth. And in some way, that sacred trust exists and we look for it. So offering a Mass, I think, for intentions like that is a really worthwhile thing to do. And we make that very easy for you. We do. All you have to do is to go to our website, womenofgrace.com, and you're going to see it right smack dab on the homepage over on the right-hand side. It's a black and white picture. It shows a priest incensing the altar, and it says, need a Mass. And you can click on that, and you can have a Mass offered for an intention that, you know, would be for yourself or someone else in the case that I'm recommending, basically for all of those men and women who have fallen. We would also consider them to be the deceased. So Mass is for the deceased, also available. So for special intentions for the deceased. And we also offer something that's quite unique. It is a Gregorian Mass. Now, what are the Gregorian Masses? It's a series of 30 Masses. And those 30 Masses really are in honor of St. Gregory. And it's an interesting story about them. So it's an ancient tradition. And it's believed that a continuous series of 30 Masses would release the soul of a deceased person from the punishments of purgatory. And this goes all the way back. I said it's an ancient tradition. It goes all the way back to Saint Gregory the Great, who was a holy father, a pope. He lived from 540 to 604. And according to legend, a deceased monk appeared to St. Gregory the Great and requested 30 masses to be celebrated for the release of his soul from purgatory. On the completion of those stipulated days, he appeared once more, radiant in heavenly glory. So he came and he asked for the mass, the masses to be said, 30 of them in a row. And then when that was completed, which was obviously fulfilled by St. Gregory the Great, when that was completed, this deceased monk appeared again in heavenly glory. And so that is the wellspring, I guess you would say. This legend is the wellspring whereby this practice of celebrating 30 consecutive masses for one and the same person, just for one person and the same person, with the intention of procuring release from purgatory, really began and has become an established custom, which has been regulated in various ways over the centuries. So, you know, I really encourage you to think about that. If you have a deceased loved one, and, you know, you feel as though this would be of great spiritual benefit. And let me just say this, it is of great spiritual benefit. So, you know, it's something to consider doing. And we offer that. And why is that unique? Well, because 30 masses in a row for one person for one intention is not an easy matter to take place in most of our parish churches. And so we have entered into a partnership with the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda. Our dear friend, Monsignor Matthew Odong, who reminded me recently that we're about to celebrate 35 years of friendship. Can you believe such a thing? Has made this available. And as I like to, you know, use the airwaves to remind people, not only is this a spiritual work of mercy, praying for our dead is a spiritual work of mercy, but in addition to that, it's a corporal work of mercy because the stipend goes to Monsignor Matthew and to the Archdiocese. And this is the way the priests in this very poor diocese exist. They exist on mass stipends. And so it enables them not only to eat but to also tend to their flock, some of whom are in the bush countries of northern Uganda, right? It purchases the capacity for them to put gas, petrol in their motorcycles, which is what they use to go into the brush. Imagine such a thing. I mean, I don't think that we really understand the very basic evangelization efforts that go on in different places of the world. But I feel really good in my heart that Women of Grace is involved in this project for both reasons, because obviously we're helping individuals to gain eternal life through our prayer. But in addition to that, you know, I should say gain heavenly glory because they're already in eternal life if they're in purgatory. But anyway, all of that being said, you know, it does my heart good to know that in a corporal way as well, we are helping these great men who have given their life to God for the sake of his people. So all that being said, that's out there. I'm just mentioning that to you. Memorial Day brings this up into my heart and into my mind. It's brought me great comfort through the year, through the years, really, to do the Gregorian Masses for both my deceased son and my deceased late husband. In addition to that, I have Masses offered every month for them on the anniversary day of their death. So, you know, like Simon died on March 20th, so the 20th of every month, a mass being celebrated. And this makes it so easy breezy for this to be accomplished. So I encourage you to check it out. I have more for you on the other side of the break. I want to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're here to answer your questions today, to pray with you, or just chit-chat. That's Women of Grace Live. Jonette Williams here. We're coming right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986. 888-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Currently, all of our phone lines are open, so let's fill them up. Oh, goody, come drops. Here comes a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I tell you all the time, we love having that holy conversation with you. So don't delay. Give us a call right away. We've got Matthew Gabinski today. He is taking your calls. He's our call screener. Pedro Quiles is out there in social media land collecting your questions and comments left for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. We certainly do want to hear from you in both of those ways. And also, we're happy to receive a text from you. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, right? Then tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening. Don't make it overly long. You know, it is a text message. And do know that data rates and message rates may apply depending upon your plan. So in all of those ways, we are available for you today, and we invite you to take full advantage of that opportunity. Here we are as well, you know, talking with you a little bit about the beautiful reality of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the great work that that is for the benefit. You know, it's a corporal work of mercy for the priests who receive the stipend, but also it's a spiritual work of mercy for our loved ones and deceased. And if someone is still living and you want to offer a Mass for them, say they're going through a very difficult time emotionally, physically, spiritually, or relationally in some way, and you want to have a Mass celebrated for them, that is perfectly acceptable, and we offer you that opportunity too. Well, you know, EWTN is always offering you opportunities as well, so I want for you to get out there and to look at the various social platforms on which we provide for you all kinds of programming and good information and resources, and one of those ways is Roku. So I don't know if you have Roku, but if you do, it allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. What do you need? You need a high-speed internet connection. You need a television, obviously, and a Roku player. And if you want more information about it, visit EWTN.com/Roku. That's R-O-K-U. Visit EWTN.com/Roku. I know a lot of people who have Roku because they're not necessarily subscribing to their cable network or to a level that some would require to receive EWTN. So this is a beautiful way in which you can take care of this on your own and never miss a beautiful, beautiful program offering from EWTN. And let me remind you too that I am available for you every day on EWTN television at 1 p.m. Eastern time with our program Women of Grace. We discuss all kinds of very important issues, spiritual issues, cultural issues, relationship issues. We talk about all kinds of very important things right there on Women of Grace, seen at 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN television. And of course, we're with you every day at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on EWTN Radio. And I just I really enjoy being with all of you, having the opportunity to talk with you about the way in which God is showing up in your life. So, you know, we did just come out of the Memorial Day weekend, and perhaps you'd like to share with us a little bit about your weekend. You know, oftentimes these weekends are spent with family and friends, and very important things happen when you're with family and friends. This particular weekend, I was at the funeral for my cousin, Bill Bareilles, may God rest his soul, a favorite cousin of all of us cousins. There were 13 of us on that side of the family. And many of us came together to pay tribute to Bill, to be there for his celebration of life, to be there for the prayer and the way in which we remember our dead. And it was a glorious time. In so many ways. One, because we were gathered, and my cousin would have loved that. He was he was like the family link. He kept linking us together through his cards that he would send and old pictures that he'd find and things of that nature. He was that kind of a guy, just a good guy. And so we came together. I remembered Bill, but in addition to that, we just reminisced, as cousins and family members do. We had some very good discussions about a wide variety of things, as you might might well imagine, and just generally enjoyed each other's company. And in this our day and time, you know, when so many of us live in great distances from each other, which is the case in our family. I'm here in Alabama. We don't have anybody in Alabama. Tennessee, not too terribly far away. Florida, not too terribly far away. Houston, yeah, a little distance away. Anyway, when we're so far flung, we only get to see each other, it seems, at funerals and weddings. And we have to be more intentional about it. And that's what my cousins and I talked about. We've got to be more intentional about this. So we're going to try to plan a few things. But maybe you had a great family experience through the course of this Memorial Day weekend, and I would love to hear about it. Maybe it was a great reunion with friends, or just friends getting together and enjoying each other's company. We don't do enough of that in our day and time. And I think one of the reasons why we don't is because of social media. Now, social media has its place, but it's not meant to replace that which is good, wholesome, true, and beautiful in our relationships with other people. FaceTime is great if you're at a distance from people and you want to catch up, but it's not the same as being with that person. And sometimes it really distresses me, because I think that we look at this then as a way to relieve us of the sacrifice that is sometimes necessary to be with those we love. You know, we live in a very fast-paced world, and many of us live a fast pace in this fast-paced world. And if we're not intentional about striving to get together with those that we love, we're going to miss that opportunity. And then it's going to be too late. Either health is going to complicate matters later on, or maybe mental ability will. Or, you know, as we experience this weekend as cousins, you know, death will take us away from people. It can bring us together, too, as it did in this way. But, you know, the idea is to spend that time now. And I feel very badly for the generations in which we're living now, because it wasn't always like that. You know, I go back to the time when I was a kid, and family came together. We made sacrifice to make sure that family came together. The majority of us lived within a couple of miles of each other. In some cases, in neighborhoods that were mine growing up, individuals lived in the same neighborhood, right down the street from each other, or even in the same house. There would be generations, multiple generations of people under one roof. Today, because we do have a mobile society and people move away from home and live at a distance, we've got to be very intentional about getting together. And maybe you had a weekend of intentionality. I'd love to know about it. I'd love to hear about it. Maybe you did gather with family members that were nearby, and you know, maybe you have these big hoopla celebrations. We had lots of those growing up, and you can hear the smile in my face. You know, it still warms my heart. Always will warm my heart. It's a softening agent. It reminds us of the fact that we're human beings. We cannot let modern technology replace the real social interaction that we have with each other. And we cannot let modern technology, as useful as it can be, replace the mental acumen and creativity of man. I worry a little bit about that with AI. I think AI has its place. I really do. I go back to the words of St. John Paul II, where he says, you know, that technology is morally neutral. It's neither right nor wrong. It's what man does with it. And I think that we live in a day and time where ethics has been rather compromised by relativism and humanism and secularism and materialism and all of the isms, you know. And as a result of that, you know, our ethical binding to that which is good, true, and beautiful, to that which is really about human flourishing, to use church language, to that which is really about, the building up of the human person, I think that has fallen to the wayside. I think it's the least considered. We certainly don't tie it into the beautiful teachings of the church that are ours. So we, as Catholics today, we have a real responsibility to make all of this be the way that it is. 833-288, or the way that it should be, I should say. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We're sitting here waiting for you today. Yes, we are. Matthew Gubensky back from his long vacation there, or his long weekend. And I don't want him drumming those fingers, you know, on his desk. I want that man to be very busy, as I do with Pedro Quiles as well. So get in touch with us either by calling us toll free here in North America, 833-288-EWTN, or by going out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or social media page. Do want to let you know some good things that are coming up though through Women of Grace. I'm very excited. We've got two big weekends planned. We do. The first of these takes place this weekend. I am going to be in South Carolina, and I am going to be with a great group of people, and we are going to have a very, very special evening together. We invite you to check all that of that out at our website. It may well be full up. I'm not really sure what that is. I'm going to find out for you though here as soon as I can. In addition to that, next weekend, June the 7th, that Saturday, I am going to be with Praise Nation at St. Andrew the Apostle Parish, located in Charleroi, PA. It's going to be a one-day Pentecost event. I'm going to be there with Mike Aquilina, along with Father Levi Hartle, and Praise Nation, this beautiful, beautiful, what do I want to call it? Apostolate of music. That's what I'm going to call it. Apostolate of music, a beautiful way in which they help us to enter deeply into the life of Christ during Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And it's just going to be quite, quite amazing. So that's myself, Mike Aquilina, Father Levi Hartle, and Joseph Jacobs of Praise Nation there at St. Andrew the Apostle Parish, located in Charleroi, PA. We still have space available, and we would like to fill this up. We surely would. We would like to fill it up. We invite you to get to our website. All of the information is available for you there. So that's coming up. On the 7th. We are also presenting a Young Women of Grace online event, The Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is the Young Women of Grace online retreat that's happening on June 13th. Sister Therese Maria Tuma is going to be with us. She's going to be talking to the young ladies, and we are going to be featuring the saint, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. This is a fun time for the young women, and we invite you to come as moms, as aunties, as grandmas, as godmothers, as teachers, as concerned neighbors. Join us. It's a free event. We hold this for the young ladies. We love it. They'll also learn what the catechism has to say about things. They'll learn a word to know, and they'll pray a decade of the rosary together. But there's a lot of fun activities that take place, yes, even online. So this is a good use of technology, right? Because it brings people at a distance together for a very specific purpose for a moment in time. Want to remind you, too, about our Benedicta online summer course, Essentials on Carmelite Spirituality, beginning on June 30th. And I just want to say, ladies, this is excellent because it's an online course, which means that you don't have travel expenses. You don't have room and board costs. Once a year, we offer an immersive where it's an in-person immersive. But these are also immersive type courses, but they're online and they take place over a 5-week period of time. This one is going to go from June 30th to August the 8th. The theme, of course, is based on its name. You can guess, Carmelite Spirituality. Our instructor is Dr. Donald Wallenfang, himself a Third Order Carmelite, written a book or more on Carmelite spirituality, a PhD in philosophy and in theology. And at the Benedicta, you think, well, you know, who is that name for? It is named for St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Beautiful, beautiful philosopher in her philosophizing days, as you would say, before she entered Carmel. She was known as Edith Stein. You might have read or heard of her. Beautiful saint of the church, martyred at Auschwitz. I think it was just a year, actually, after Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. I think he was martyred in 41, she in 42. A remarkable, remarkable, beautiful, beautiful woman of God. And so we will look at four female doctors of the church. Two of them are Carmelite. We'll find out about the relationship between the Carmelite tradition of prayer and a Catholic theology of womanhood. Think about that for a moment or two. It will offer the A to Z essentials of the Carmelite charism, which leads us to understand the gradual perfection of charity through a determined determination of heart. I like that, a determined determination of heart. So anyway, all of that is available for you through Women of Grace. If you're not familiar with our apostolate, get out there and join us for one of these events. We do hold them online. We do hold them in person. But read up on us and see what it is that we're about. We have been about this apostolic work since 2003. So here we are 22 years along at this point in time through the grace of God. And so many women's lives have been affected. So many led into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ by way of it. And how do we do it? Well, we do it by holding up the woman of grace. And who is the woman of grace? The woman of grace is our Blessed Lady. Listen to this beautiful quote. I was just talking with you about St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein. This is what she says about our Blessed Mother, or what we're called to do as women. She says, "The imitation of Mary includes the imitation of Christ, because Mary is the first Christian to follow Christ. Indeed, that is why the imitation of Mary is not only relevant to women, but to all Christians." Chew on that a bit. You know, it's a beautiful thing to consider that our Blessed Mother is the first Christian. She is absolutely the first Christian. Why is she the first Christian? Well, my goodness sake, she knew Jesus first. She knew Jesus, Word made flesh, in her womb at the moment of the Annunciation. She is indeed the first Christian. She's also the first Christian for another reason. Do you know why? She is the first Christian for another reason, because she is the first to experience the saving merits of Jesus' salvific action on Calvary. And she did this by preservative grace. By preservation from the scathing of original sin. But it was by way of the merits of her son's cross that this would take place. Now, what does this mean? Well, we know that Immaculate Conception does not refer to the way in which Jesus was conceived. It doesn't refer to anything but this. It refers to the fact that at the moment of her own conception, Mary was preserved from the stain of original sin by way of the merits of the cross of her son that would come in time, but would not be limited to time, because God works outside of time and space. And when Jesus suffered on Calvary's hill, he opened heaven to all of those who would come, but to all of those who had come. But for Our Lady, in a unique and special way that no other human person would ever experience. In the womb of St. Anne, at the moment that Our Lady was being conceived, God released into that conception, into its very beginning, the merits of Christ's cross, that she would be a worthy vessel to carry his son. More on the other side of the break, 833-288-EWTN.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and I am Johnette Williams, and you just heard those numbers, but I'm going to give them to you again. Give us a call here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. As I tell you, the chat feature is there for you to use. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board, and I will address it. We've got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, Matthew Gubensky out there on the phones. We've got the beautiful and the wonderful Vanessa Sanchez, who is our beautiful new producer. So all of that being said, let's hear from you today. We want to hear from you. Do want to tell you about something. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but tonight and every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio, Father Mike Schmitz guides you through the entire Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 365 episodes. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done the Bible in a year or the Catechism of the Catholic Church in a year with Father Mike Schmitz, EWTN Radio makes it really easy for you to do it. It's every night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic, and if you've ever desired to allow those truths to shape your life, and let me tell you what, It is the only way to go. This is for you. And when I say it's the only way to go, I mean if you want to know the fullness of hope, the fullness of faith, the fullness of charity, it's the way to go. So tune in every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio to join Father Mike Schmitz and let him guide you through the Bible and the Catechism. Do want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN Radio partner, WASB 96.5 FM, serving Stanley, Boyd, and Cadeau, Wisconsin, is celebrating 10 years with EWTN. Woohoo! That's exciting. Congratulations to Deacon Ned Wilcombe and the great team at All Saints Catholic Parish from all of us here at EWTN. What a great, great witness. What a great, great evangelistic action is taking place through WASB, touching so many hearts and so many souls. So congratulations to all of you. Let's pray for another 10, then another 10, and then another 10, and then another 10 until Jesus comes back again, because we need to flood the airwaves with our Catholic faith. And that's why all of our radio partners are so very, very important in the world today. So, you know, we were talking about something with regard to our Blessed Mother, and I was sharing with you about this great reality of Mary and how it is that we want to imitate her. And I was reading to you this beautiful passage from St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross in light of our Blessed Mother, and also in light of the work that we do through our Benedicta Institute for Women and the whole of Women of Grace, because this is what we're about. She says again, the imitation of Mary includes the imitation of Christ, because Mary is the first Christian to follow Christ. And we talked about why she's the first. Indeed, that is why the imitation of Mary is not only relevant to women, but to all Christians. And so we don't want to take our Blessed Mother and say, yeah, but you know, ladies, you know, that's for women. Oh, my gracious sakes, look at all of the strong men, saints, who were formed and shaped by our mother, just as she formed and shaped Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of some that are more contemporary or modern to us. I'm thinking about St. John Paul II. What about him and our Blessed Mother? What about Maximilian Kolbe and our Blessed Mother? What about St. Louis de Montfort and our Blessed Mother? What about St. Bernard of Clairvaux and our Blessed Mother? I mean, we could just tick them off. There were so many of them. What about St. John of the Cross and our Blessed Mother? All of these great saints were shaped by Our Lady. And so she is relevant to all of us as Christians. We want to imitate her. I don't really like that word imitate, because the connotation in our day and time is that something's a cheap replica. And that may well be true, especially if we're thinking of ourselves in reference to the glory and privileges of Our Lady. But we want to emulate her, because nothing would please the heart of God more than to find the mother of his son, our Blessed Lady, embraced by our hearts, right? And to find us in her immaculate heart. So just saying, Blessed Mother wants to do everything for us. Well, let's get to Terry, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we really do love having that holy conversation with you. Terry's in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening to us via the EWTN app. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, Johnette. It's so good to speak to you. Thank you so much for all that you do and for taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome. It gives me great pleasure to have you as a guest today.
Oh, right here. God bless you. My question is, I've got a nephew who is seems to have always been like a depressive type of person, always down. And he is in his upper 40s. And I just want to tell him that Jesus loves him. I want to try to evangelize him.
Sure.
I want to call him up. You know, we're not real close. I only talk to him maybe twice a year or so. And he doesn't want to come over anymore because he's afraid that, you know, he's just afraid of germs. And ever since COVID happened, he's just scared of all that. So I was wondering, is there a book that can help you along to talk to people who are not Christians and aren't open to Christianity? You know, I know that he doesn't care for the Catholic Church. And so that's my question, basically, is there a book, and can you give me some tips on how I can approach somebody and in the right way to let them know that God loves them and what else I should say.
Well, Terry, thank you for your question because it's a good one. And I have a feeling that many people are listening to your question today and it's resonating in their hearts because they know someone just like this. And it's somebody that they're, you know, feeling prompted by the Lord to involve themselves with in this way. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of books that I could recommend to you on apologetics, where you're making a clear, you know, a clear explanation of the faith, which is what apologetics is. It's not about apologizing, and it's not about arguing either. It's really about making a cogent explanation of the faith. I could recommend those books to you just so that you would have at the ready some of the insights and clarity that you would need on various issues that oftentimes people will raise with regard to that. But I don't know one that gives you a step-by-step guide because, you know, it's a very personal journey, this journey to our Lord. While there are certain features of everyone's journey that overlap because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there are nuances that are particular to the individual. What I can tell you is what this young man needs is pre-evangelization. So before we actually get in there and begin to, you know, talk about the faith and talk about our Lord, we really need to season and cultivate his heart to receive the seeds of truth that you want to plant there. And so that's a process. You know, it's very different if we have like just a very quick opportunity to speak with somebody in a, you know, what do I want to say? You know, a very circumstantial situation. Like oftentimes I've had the occasion to talk to people at an airport. I'm never going to see that person again. So I make use of the opportunity and go for it. But if we have the opportunity to really cultivate a heart, and you do through a relationship with him, then that's the way that we want to go. So his heart is hard right now. So it's not capable. Anything that you, any cogent conversation that you would make is likely to have little result because, that seed is just going to bounce off of the hardened surface of his heart. So how do we cultivate a heart? Well, we do it through prayer, which I'm sure you are doing. But we do it through prayer. And remember what Jesus said. He said, some demons can only be removed by prayer and fasting. Well, now, I'm not saying that this man is being tormented by a demon, but I am saying that there is an oppressive spirit there. You mentioned it. He walks around with a cloud over his face, over his head, rather. He's despondent. He's depressed. He's also being played with through irrational fear. You know, not every germ is a bad germ. And the only way that we build up resistance to serious diseases, you know, that are contagious in form, you know, is through some kind of interaction with a germ. You know, the germs help for us to be able to ward off illnesses like viruses and colds and all that stuff. So germs in and of themselves are not necessarily negative. We've become germophobic. And he apparently has become that from what you say. He's not a happy person. So there's all that indicates, okay, this kid's in spiritual jeopardy, which we would assume he would be in if he doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. But again, we know that the territory of his heart has got to be seasoned, it's got to be cultivated, and it's got to be cleared. So we want to clear it. And Jesus says some of these things can only be resolved by prayer and fasting. So I would couple your prayer for him with sacrificial action in whatever way that you want. I mean, you could say, okay, every Wednesday, I'm going to give up something that I really enjoy eating for him or something that I really enjoy drinking for him. Or every Wednesday, or whenever I see, you know, somebody I find very irritating or somebody says an unkind comment to me, for the sake of this man's soul, I'm going to respond with grace and joy, peace and hope, and say something nice. We can tailor this and to what works for us, but that's pre-evangelization. That's cultivating, prayer, fasting, really just allowing ourselves to become more familiar with those aspects of our faith that we might one day want to present if the opportunity should present itself to him. Now, how do you know if he's ready? How do you know if you can really get in there now and plant that seed? generally speaking, this is what I've... Oh, and the other thing I forgot to mention, and I shouldn't mention, is you've got to cultivate a relationship with him more than an occasional one. He's reluctant to come and visit and this thing and that thing. You know, maybe he'll let you come visit him. Or maybe, you know, you can just, without being cloying, you don't want to be a nag, or present yourself as somebody being very strange, like this is really peculiar behavior all of a sudden. But, you know, just occasionally drop him a little note or a little card, or reach out through, you know, a text message. Was thinking about you today. Hope all is going well. You know, just cultivate, because you got to, his trust in you has got to be built, or he's not going to listen to anything too. So that's the work of that, right? You want to build that relationship, et cetera. You want to pray for him. You want to fast for him. Little sacrificial offerings along the way. And you want to be at the ready. So how do you know when he is ready? Because all of that's going to take effect. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. It might take a long time, but it will happen. And especially as that trust in you is built, he may begin to open up and talk with you. He may begin to share with you some of the travail of his heart. He might begin to call and say, hey, I have something really going on here and I'm concerned about it. I mean, I don't know. Any number of things. And then what do you say to him? You just say to him, let's just name him John for the moment. John, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to say a prayer for you for this situation. Just very gently. You know, I always like to ask, you know, may I pray with you? Rarely have I been refused, but if he's very resistant and you seem to think he would be, then I would just say, I'm going to pray for you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a mass celebrated for you. And, you know, all of that is going to take effect. It's going to take effect. And that relationship will build, his confidence in you will build. And you know when he's coming to you with issues that he's getting ready. So that I am going to pray for you is the first, you know, what I want to say, you know, bow over the bow, you know, of the ship. it's the first, okay, out there. And then, you know, as time wears on, you know, you might be able to say, yeah, you know, have your story ready, Terry. Yeah, you know, I went through a really rough time once in my life. And oh, golly gee, I was just about ready to, you know, pack it in. I was just so upset and nothing was going right and blah, 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 blah. But then, you know, I remembered, you know, that I was baptized and I just asked the Lord to stir up those baptismal graces. Or I decided I would go before the Blessed Sacrament. Or I decided to pray a rosary or whatever your or is, you know, this is what I did. And I got to tell you what, you know, I came through it and I know it was because of whatever it was that you did in the middle. Right. And that's a very little, you know, easy formula to remember for evangelization. I was, Jesus did, I am. I was, Jesus did, I am. And we all have those stories. So, you know, and don't say anything. You don't have to say, and it can be the same for you and go into a preaching thing. Just let it sit there. Let it marinate, right? So that's what I would recommend. I don't know if any of this has been helpful. I know I've talked a long time. But, you know, that's what I have found to be effective. You know, and usually they'll say, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it might seem like, okay, so that little venturing, you know, bounced off of the hard soil, but that's okay. You know, a number of pings on something hard will eventually leave a dent. So I hope that helps you, Terry.
Like the way you said, I was, Jesus did, I am.
Yes.
I wrote that down.
Good.
So that's part of the story of one of your, my own trials and tribulations. So I like that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's great because it's non-threatening. Number one, it doesn't threaten somebody, your story. It's warm and inviting because you're sharing something about yourself. And, you know, they can't really refute it. They can't come back at you because it is your story. So they can't say, well, that didn't happen. Well, yeah, it really did happen. You know, it happened fast, you know, or whatever, you know, and we all have those stories and we can fashion them around different instances in our life where Jesus has shown up, you know. So like when I'm talking to a mom who's lost a child, well, you know, I share my I was, Jesus did, I am story about my son's death. Or if I myself, you know, I was falling away from the church, I have my I was, Jesus did, I am story for that. you know, difficult times within family settings. Yeah, this was going on in our family, and I got to tell you, it was really rough. But then this is what, you know, I reached out to our Lord, and he did, or he began to show me how I could practice this virtue, and it changed everything, or whatever the case is. So to have a number of those at the ready is a great way to evangelize. Let us know how it goes, Tara.
Oh, I will. So, yes, I will do the pre-evangelization.
There you go.
I never heard it called that, but I love it. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Johnette. I really appreciate it. You've been so helpful to me.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Well, I so appreciate you, and keep listening. And listen, consider taking one of our Women of Grace studies in the future. We do them online, but we're looking for facilitators. I'm inviting you and every woman listening today, if you would like to be a facilitator for Women of Grace, we would love to invite you into this beautiful, beautiful opportunity of spiritual maternity. The benefits and the rewards that the women receive by way of spiritual graces as they're leading other women is really, really quite incredible. So I want to invite you to that, okay?
Thank you so much, Johnette. God bless you and all that you do.
Thanks, Terry. Bye-bye now. Yeah, that beautiful little quote that I read to you by St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross is in our Who is Mary study, which is part of our Moments with Mary study series, Who is Mary? And this is available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. It is an absolutely wonderful study. The women are loving it. They're also loving our new installment, which is Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics. And there is a study going on right now online with regard to that one. But these are, listen, we do all of the work for you. All you have to do is be, what is required to be a Women of Grace facilitator? One thing, a warm and welcoming heart. That's all. And if you know how to make coffee, that doesn't hurt either. But you know, the fact of the matter is we do all of the work for you. So you just have to pull the women together, invite them in, and a beautiful, beautiful thing begins to happen in these groups by way of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have Erin with us. Erin is a first time caller, yippee-ki-yo, in Silver Spring, Maryland. Ringing my bell for you, Erin. How are you?
Hi, very well. How are you, Johnette?
I am very well, thank you.
I am so happy to speak with you today, and I listened to everything and all the advice that you gave the last gal. I can't remember her name.
Terry.
So, yeah, of course. I really have a question that I've been struggling with for quite a while, and it is about my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter, if I could just give you an acorn of what this is.
Okay.
I am a Catholic, Roman Catholic, from way back. This daughter-in-law of mine asked me, he became Catholic before they got married, and I am his godmother. And there is also a granddaughter that I'm concerned about, who's 16 at this point, and going to Catholic high school, etc. And they're lovely people. The family is, and my son is very, very good about, being the head of the household and loving, et cetera. My issue is they have really focused in on their bodies, and my granddaughter and daughter-in-law. And because of that, I think that they're missing out on the spiritual part of their life that could be stronger. And I say this because of especially a picture that was that reoccurs on the refrigerator all the time, and it is of lovely young women who are in bikinis and quite bountiful and tasteful, but still. And
yeah.
There's also a 12-year-old boy there. So
yeah.
I have spoken to them about it. My sister spoke to them about it. I wrote a note on the back of it. This is over a course of a year.
Yeah. Well, let me chime in a little bit, Erin, because we're getting close on time here. We just have 2 minutes left. And I'm thinking as you're speaking about St. John Paul II, who talked about the cult of the body today. And when we are spiritually impoverished, we concentrate on that which is most accessible to us, and that's the body. So in some way, you know, this cult of the body that we live in today, where everything is focused on, a certain body type, it's focused on eating very very well, which I am not opposed to, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but everything in right balance. When we're overly focused on the body, it is an indication to me that there's an impoverishment of the soul. It's almost as if the soul begins to feed off of the body, and that becomes the substance of what is important. And that's what it sounds like is happening here. And it's a shame that the parents are falling victim to the overemphasis on making an appearance that is more sexually related than it is towards the virtue of chastity. And I think that the only thing I can say to you is the same thing that I said to Terry. You have to pray, and you have to sacrifice, and you have to encourage, and you have to do it so in a way that is non-threatening to them, and in a way that raises up the greater part of who they are by encouraging them to see themselves as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And in ways in which you can do that, subtle ways and overt ways when appropriate, is the way to do it. And I wish I had more time. I'd be happy to have you call back tomorrow. We can get into this a little bit more deeply. But just some thoughts to think about in the meantime. Friends, it's been great being with all of you. God bless you now. Have a blessed, holy, happy, and safe day. Bye-bye now.